present tense here, folks. We're doing present tense. Nobody's leaving. Nobody's leaving.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Bayern Munich may be enjoying some time off due to the international break, but there's no time off for us around here. Though there haven't been any games for us to discuss, we still have plenty to address this week, including Thomas Müller's strange situation right now, Serge Gnabry's current form, Bastian Schweinsteiger's retirement, and much, much more. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm joined by my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hey.
And Tim Richards.
Hello there.
So we'll just go ahead and start off with the big one, the one that's kind of really been in the news for the past couple of days. And that, of course, is that Thomas Müller is unhappy with his role at Bayern Munich. So it first came out from Sport Bild that he wanted to leave, that that Thomas Müller wanted out of Bayern. To no one's surprise, that's not the whole story, not completely true. Shortly after, Kicker published an interview that they had with him, where he said that he's not totally happy with what's going on with him at the club right now. You know, he hasn't started the last five games. He's only coming in off the bench when he does come in. He's playing, you know, really well, as we've talked about on this podcast. So it's not like he's not fighting to earn his spot in the starting 11. He did say that if things don't change, he'll have to consider his future. But since then, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge has even come out and said that, you know, you don't have to worry. Müller's not leaving Bayern in January. His future's here. Some outlets are saying that Bayern actually want to extend his contract even. So it's really a strange situation. And I guess the weirdest part for me is that the name Thomas Müller, Mr. Bayern Munich, is being thrown into the mix. Out of all the players in our squad, this is, I guess, the last person that I would expect to see linked with a move away from Bayern Munich. So anyway, I just want to hear your, I guess, what was your initial reaction and your initial thoughts when all this started coming out, Tim, about Thomas Müller potentially, very, very slim potential, but still potentially leaving Bayern Munich?
Well, I've been hugely skeptical of just about anything that I've read about anything in the past year. And now looking back, past 5 or 6 years, ever since I've become like slightly more, you know, present on, well, not to say that I've got an online presence, but ever since I've started reading more about the club and about football in general, I've kind of learned to take any report with varying sizes, grains of salt or pinches of salt. That's the worst sentence that I've ever said. But I think it's so important to look at where these reports are coming from and thinking, okay, what's the legitimacy? Like, is there any legitimacy? Who's this coming from? And I think the fact that it's coming from Christian Falk, Mr. Not True himself, I think that kind of speaks volumes to, you know, what we saw throughout the summer with Leroy Sané, with Boateng, with everything, really. There's been reports, not just from him, but from other people, saying that regardless of what happens at the end of the season, if Kovac wins the double, he's definitely going to get sacked. That didn't happen. So I think all in all, reporting as a whole and football journalism as a whole, I think it's safe to kind of doubt anything that you see. Like, I don't think anybody's going to, you know, disparage you for saying, I don't actually believe this. Because I guess that's just kind of the world that we live in, like outside of football. But obviously, I'm not going to get political here. When you see the headline, Thomas Müller wants to leave Bayern Munich, the thing that goes into my head instantly is that picture of him when he was like 7 years old on his bed, wearing a Bayern Munich shirt, the shorts, gloves. He's got all Bayern Munich everything. And that's the guy that apparently wants to leave the club. It's the sort of thing that you get on FIFA. Like when FIFA just says, okay, this player wants to go to this team. And it's a video game, so it doesn't really matter if it's real or not. Like, if you don't like it, you can just start again. I completely 100% understand his position of, I'm not really happy with how things are going. But the report that like he is desperate to leave in the winter. Really? Okay, if you want to create some, I'm going to say it, some fake news, if you want to do that, terrific. But is that really the sort of thing that Thomas Müller would ever do? Schweinsteiger was different. Schweinsteiger grew up as, like, there are so many pictures of him in old United shirts. Like, and, you know, when he was growing up, and still kind of to this day, United's a massive team. So obviously it makes sense for him to, like, want to try something else. But it's Thomas Müller. I can understand him being disappointed and wanting something more. The fact that the report was that he wants to leave in the winter, I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. And it's great that so soon after that report came out, Kicker just straight up published an interview with him. They said, you know, forget all the fake news nonsense. We talked to the player himself, and this is what he said. And we don't have Sebastian to give us his best translation, but essentially he said, if the coach is going to continue to see me as a substitute, I'm not going to be starting games, then I'll have to think things over. I'll have to consider my future, I guess. And he said, I'm too ambitious for that. So nowhere in there does he say, I want to leave. He does say, basically, I'm unhappy with the current situation. But, you know, like you said, Thomas Müller is not someone who's going to want to leave Bayern Munich. He's someone who's going to want his situation fixed. But, I don't see him actively pushing for a move out anytime soon. Garrett, do you think Thomas Müller is right to go to Kicker and then kind of publicly show that he's, you know, upset with the role that he's playing at the club right now?
I think that for a guy like Thomas Müller, you want to see that kind of ambition, right? You don't want to see a guy that's like, well, yeah, you know, if I get 5 or 10 minutes, I'm happy and I'll just collect my paycheck and keep resting on my laurels. You want a guy that's going to be much more trying to bust into that starting lineup, trying to be the best in the world at whatever position he comes on the pitch at. So it doesn't really bother me that he said those things. It doesn't really bother me that it came out through Kicker, because I think, like he said, that he's talked to Niko Kovac. It's not like this is blindsiding him by any means. And yeah, I mean, I guess it's just what you would expect from Thomas Müller. You would expect him to want to start more games, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be a problem for him to keep coming off the bench. I think he'd like to start in more games than he has, certainly in the last few matches or whatever. But I do think that you want a player to be ambitious. You want to be a player. You want a player to want to be on the pitch. And for him to just say, hey, I'd much rather be starting. And if it comes to the end of the season, I think that the winner is there's no way outside of a massive offer for Thomas Müller that Bayern are going to move him in the winter. Certainly. I can't possibly imagine that happening. But in the summer, if a team comes along and says, hey, you would have a starting 11 role on our club, and if it's not every single time, every single match, it's most matches, I'm sure he'd have to consider taking that and just saying, hey, Bayern, would you be willing to move me? This is where I want to be. I want to, you know, do different things, you know, have a bigger role in a club. But I do think that Bayern still valued Thomas Müller highly. I think Niko Kovac values Thomas Müller very highly. I don't think that despite the kind of logjam at his positions, I still think that, as we've seen, he comes on and he immediately impacts a match. So I think that Bayern would do well to get him more time, to start him from time to time. I can't imagine what it would hurt to start him, you know, in Champions League, or especially at this point, or even in some of the upcoming Bundesliga matches. Certainly you can keep a guy like that happy. He is, in a lot of ways, he is what Bayern Munich have been and what they, I think, hope to continue to be. So, it doesn't bother me the way this news kind of came out. I mean, other than just for Sport Bild to kind of say that he's pushing his way out, that seems like a massive misinterpretation of what was said or what has been said. So, it doesn't bother me at all. In fact, if anything, it's just kind of nice to see that he still has the drive to be the best and to be one of the top players at the club, if not the top player at the club.
Gary, you said that Thomas Müller kind of is everything that Bayern Munich stand for. Essentially, he is like the embodiment of the Mia San Mia. We are who we are. He's Bavarian through and through, grew up Bayern Munich. His life is literally Bayern Munich at this point. Tim, what would it mean for the club? Let's just speculate for a second. Say Bayern Munich do decide, okay, we'll listen to offers for Thomas Müller, maybe in the winter, maybe in the summer, and we'll see if we can, you know, let him go somewhere else. What would that mean for the club? You know, how would that change the club's identity? Do you think it might taint the club's identity? What would that mean for Bayern Munich?
I think there's certainly two aspects to this. On the one hand, it's the club looking out for their own. Like, there's all of these stories of, you know, former players, and they always say the club takes care of their own for like as long as they can do. And if they have a player, regardless of stature for a second, if they have a player that says, I kind of want to go somewhere else, I don't think the club's going to hold them against their will, especially somebody that has been such a great servant to the club as Thomas Müller. Or I probably should say someone who still remains a great servant of the club. Present tense here, folks. We're doing present tense. Nobody's leaving. On the other hand, he is Bayern Munich. Like, there's in the commentary for the Bayern against Real Madrid penalty shootout from 2012. Now, this is a deep pull here. In the English commentary, Bastian Schweinsteiger steps up to take his penalty to put Bayern into the final. I don't know how that match went, but in the semi-final, Bayern won. And as Schweinsteiger was stepping up to take it, the commentator said, Mr. Bayern Munich. And yeah, it makes sense. This is a guy that stood in the center circle, grabbed the microphone and said, I'm staying at this club for a little while longer. And everyone was like, yeah, this is great. This is absolutely perfect. I'm sure we'll talk more about Schweinsteiger later on, but it made sense for him to be Mr. Bayern Munich at that moment because he was such a vital figure and continued to be so throughout. With him gone, with Lahm gone, Thomas Müller is Mr. Bayern Munich. If anything, like, you could probably argue that he was Mr. Bayern Munich, like, just around that sort of time, because he was such an influential part of every team sheet that he was in. He was still really, really young, but he was holding it. He was holding his own with fantastic professionals. So to see him potentially leave, I don't know what that makes the club. It's the club that would, if anything, it would just really kind of magnify, I don't want to say all of the bad parts of the club, because I love the club more than most things in life. But there are a few aspects, and these are things that, like, we've spoken about countless times, like the whole deal with Qatar and Hamad International Airport. If anything, Thomas Müller going, just because he isn't, you know, as good as he once was, doesn't mean that he's still not a tremendous value. And I think that's kind of how I see it. A departure of Thomas Müller is more or less the equivalent of, you know, really leaning into that whole deal with whoever it may be. It really amplifies kind of like the negative sides of football. I think there is a place for sentimentality in football. Obviously, you can't get too bogged down by it, because then you get situations like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Man United, where it's kind of like a joke that's just got a bit too out of hand. But while Müller is still putting up great numbers, he is a value to the team. Okay, he's not as flashy as Coutinho, he's not as fast as Gnabry or Coman, but he's still doing exactly what it is that he's supposed to be doing. He's giving everything that he possibly can do. And to see him leave would be, I don't want to say something as bold as it would be the end of Bayern as I know it, but it would be somewhere along those lines.
It'd certainly be the end of Bayern as I know it. I mean, I haven't been a fan long enough to know what Bayern Munich was prior to Thomas Müller coming and into the first team. And I don't know, you know, anything about Bayern other than, you know, what he's kind of put out there. You know, and I think that certainly it'd be a massive change in how, and I don't want to speak too much to what Germans think of the club and German football in general, because obviously I have German ancestry, but I'm not German. You know, I think that though that there is this really already this kind of too corporate feel to Bayern and football in general in Europe is becoming more and more of a who's got the most money, who's, you know, putting out this, you know, this team, who cares where they're from, you know, and to some degree that's okay. But the fact that with Müller being Bavarian and the club being so seemingly so tied to that history of Bavaria and everything around that, it would just seem the feel of the team would be so different to not have a player like that. And I know for a lot of fans nowadays that does not matter in the slightest, but I would assume, and again, this would be how it would be nice to have Sebastian on, it would be a real big change to see a player that came up through the club from that region just all of a sudden gone. And now again, it does change. I mean, it makes a difference how he leaves. If he retires, then, you know, that's inevitable. That's got to happen. But for him to move away from the club when he still can contribute and be a big part of the club, that would be a massive mark on the club, I think.
And it's just modern football is so rare to see a player for any club who comes up from the academy, stays at the club, finds success with the club without having to go on loan or anything, and just spends his whole career with one club. That's such a rare thing to see. Yeah, yeah.
He's not a bit player.
Exactly, yeah. And it's not someone who's like, oh, he's just been around. Like, this is the guy who has scored 10 World Cup goals. Granted, that's not with Bayern, but still he won the World Cup in 2014, won the Champions League in 2013, is on track to break all sorts of Bundesliga records when it comes to wins and stuff like that. The all-time highest German Champions League score, so on and so forth. Just this great player who is only 30. Now, granted, you know, 30 is kind of that age where people look at footballers and they're like, oh no, their worth has just been cut in half. Although that's changing in recent years, but I mean, he's shown this season already that he's still a very, very good player and that he still has a lot to offer the club. So obviously we're all biased. Me being, you know, such a huge Thomas Müller fan, I'm even extra biased, but I think that would certainly be just terrible to see him, you know, leave the club to go play somewhere else when there's, you know, when he's happy at Bayern, when he just would rather stay and succeed at Bayern. We have to talk about how Niko Kovac plays into this. Tim, you've always been our biggest, I guess, defender of Niko Kovac. Not that any of us have anything huge to complain about him, but how does he tie into this situation? Does he have to take a lot of the fault here for, you know, not playing Müller as much as he maybe could have or should have even? And then also, how much pressure is there on him to start Muller this upcoming weekend?
Well, I guess to answer the second question, a tremendous amount of pressure. Like, this is the biggest guy in the club. Like, I think when, as you were just saying, like, just a second ago, the way that you can kind of explain this to somebody that isn't a Bayern fan, it's not quite the same. But Thomas Müller is essentially Bayern's Messi. Like, there's going to be a clear divide of, like, life after Thomas Müller and life before Thomas Müller. But this period where he was just banging goals left, right and centre and always doing exactly what he could do, that's kind of the glory days that Barcelona are starting to creep towards the end of. So I think, like, that is kind of the standing that he has. And if he is saying, I'm not happy at the moment, I want to be playing more, then yeah, I think Niko Kovac would probably have to make the fairly sensible decision and play him. And I think beyond even just playing him, he'd have to start him and at least give him 90 minutes, because to be honest, he's kind of earned it. Like, I'm not a big fan of people just kind of complaining their way into the squad. It's like, I really like Renato Sanchez, but I did think that, like, he needed to do just like a little bit more to kind of, you know, to kind of like say, yeah, I deserve to be here for a little while longer. Like, I can't just have like 10 minutes, like 15 minutes at the end of a game. So I think that he's going to have to play him. I can't actually remember who the next game is. It's against Augsburg.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's like a reasonably good team to play Müller on. They're currently 14th. Chances are, like, everybody's waiting for Müller to kind of get back to his best. If ever there was an opportunity, Augsburg is going to be that opportunity. As for how integral Kovac has been in all of this, there have been times this season where he had every opportunity to play Müller. I think the game against Hoffenheim would have been number one. Like, we had such a fantastic game on the Tuesday, and then to put out virtually the exact same team, give or take like one or two names, the following match day against Hoffenheim, I think he really missed the trick there. Like, that's something that, while we're all kind of hoping that Kovac does well, he has fallen short a number of times with like the team sheet, the complete lack of rotation, which is very peculiar, because this time last season we were saying there's too much rotation. Mm-hmm. we need to slow that down. So I don't know, it is very confusing, because part of me is always under this impression that this is a guy that wants to experiment week in, week out, like Guardiola did. So then he had that run of kind of bad results. Then, like, what happened? Like, how come he doesn't want to rotate anymore? Yeah, he should have played him much more often. I think you just have to look at the Liverpool games last year to see our attack without Müller just looks predictable and stagnant. Having him on the pitch is a complete revelation.
Yeah, and, well, I think part of it, at least for Kovac, is the fact that after he rotated so heavily last year, it didn't really work out for him. So now he's kind of swung back the other way and gone a little bit too far, where now he's saying, I'm not going to rotate at all, and I'm going to put out the same starting 11, and we'll see what, you know, how that works. And so he has to find that balance and find a way to get Thomas Müller in there. And then there's also kind of another player in this, whatever you want to call it, that's going on with Thomas Müller, the situation. And that's Felipe Coutinho, because, you know, he's sort of the reason that Müller's not playing. He's kind of come in, he's made the, you know, well, first of all, Kovac switched his entire formation to let Coutinho play as a number 10. And he's done really, really well. Garrett, I don't think any of us would say that it's Coutinho's fault that Müller wants to leave. So how would we... I guess, how do you
remedy the situation?
Yeah, exactly. How do you remedy the situation without, I guess, sacrificing Coutinho, without just saying, well, okay, then just get him out of the starting 11?
He can't play. Yeah, I so the last game that Mueller played was, or Mueller started, was the Leipzig match. So it's been exactly a month since he's started a match for Bayern. And so to me, he should have been starting against Augsburg this weekend, regardless of the news. I mean, but I do think that the news kind of makes, you know, this statement that, you know, he's questioning his future at the club should, as nothing else, as an act of like, hey, you know, this is a statement. We still think that you're as valuable to this club as anybody. Put him on the pitch against Augsburg. And ultimately, it really doesn't matter, because like, to me, like, he's the type of player that isn't going to be, and I think everybody agrees with this, I'm not saying this is just my opinion. He's the type of player that's going to be, he's not going to be flashy. He's not going to do, you know, step overs. He's not going to be, you know, doing things that show up on the highlight films that you're, you know, you're going crazy with the gifts and everything. He's just a player that gets things done, knows where to be, knows how to get the ball to players in positions to be successful. And so I don't think that there'd be as significant a drop off to put Coutinho to switch out Coutinho and put Mueller in. I don't think that that is as much of a problem as like people want to act. It does change the complexion of the team in terms of like how things are going to flow and everything. But as far as the results, it really shouldn't make a difference. To get them, you know, to remedy the situation, so it's not just like, hey, we can only play Mueller in this spot, and we can only play Coutinho in that same spot, and if Coutinho's there, then I guess Mueller is not playing, is, you know, Niko Kovac is just going to have to try to work in Coutinho on the wings. You can work Coutinho even in a more central position, and, you know, kind of that 4-1-4-1 look, or 4-4-1-1 look, I guess, is what I'm looking for. There's ways to get them both on the pitch, and we've talked about it before. I think that that could be really successful. It doesn't necessarily fit the style that you would necessarily think of when you think of having Coutinho on the pitch. But, you know, Kovac has said they're not going to be on the pitch at the same time, but I believe that they were. For a little bit, at least against Hoffenheim, when it was 1-0 to Hoffenheim, and then Mueller came on, and then Bayern scored again. Now they end up conceding again, and obviously everybody knows that story. But the point being that they can still have a lot of success, scoring goals and making that work, having them on the pitch at the same time. So I would like to see, put Coutinho out on the right wing, give him some time out there, put Mueller in at, you know, behind Lewandowski, or vice versa, switch him out, you know, do something like that. Because again, I don't think that there's going to be as much of a dropout as people, you know, some people want to make it there out to be, by putting Mueller on the pitch, either at right wing or in, not a 10, but, you know, in behind Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, Garrett. I think this weekend the biggest statement Niko Kovac could make would to be, yes, to play Thomas Mueller, but to play Felipe Coutinho with him. I guess what I'd like to see is just Serge Gnabry, Felipe Coutinho, and Thomas Mueller just taking up the three attacking roles right behind Robert Lewandowski. And I think that's something that Tim was calling for last episode, for Bayern to play, to try and play against Hoffenheim maybe, or something like that. Anyway, I think that would be a really deadly attacking four, especially given how Kingsley Coman has fallen back off a little bit in form. So I think Kovac, it would be big for him to say, you know, okay, maybe I spoke too soon saying that Coutinho and Mueller won't play together. I'm going to try it out. I'll see how it goes. And I think that would also do a lot for him to win some fans back over, because if he starts Mueller over Coutinho, then you're going to have the newer, the Coutinho fans who are going to be all upset that Kovac is just getting bossed around by Thomas Muller and being told what to do by this player. And then if you don't play Muller, but instead play Felipe Coutinho, then you're going to have all the Muller fans mad that, okay, what does this guy have to do to get some game time? Whereas if you play them both, I don't see a lot of people getting upset. If nothing
else, diehard Koeman fans.
Yeah, I guess so. But I guess if you play them and it doesn't work, then you're vindicated. You're saying, okay, that's why I said they don't play together. If you play them and it does work, even better, because you have two world-class footballers playing world-class football together. So I think that's definitely something we should see. And I think Niko Kovac will be missing a really, really big opportunity to not take this chance to put them both on the pitch together. I mean, after all, James Rodriguez and Thomas Muller worked very, very well together whenever a coach would actually play them alongside one another. And Coutinho is, you know, much faster, much more agile on the ball, probably just an upgrade over James in almost every single area except for his left foot. So in theory, it should work just as well with Coutinho and Thomas Muller playing, you know, together with a winger behind Robert Lewandowski.
And I just think that five games and then start Muller is probably even too long to rotate him into the starting 11 because of how good of a player he still is. But like even if his new role is primarily off the bench, you still need to get him into the starting lineup, you know, every three games or so,
right,
just a statement of like, hey, this is how important we think you are. You know, we don't think that you're just a change of pace guy. We think that you are a real, you know, key player for this club, and we're going to work you in, you know, the starting line 11 and just say, you know, but basically it's just a show of good faith, for a player that really is one of the better players on the club.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been spending all this time talking about someone who is undoubtedly a Bayern Munich legend and will go down as such. Let's transition to another Bayern Munich legend, and that's Bastian Schweinsteiger, who earlier this week announced that he will be retiring at the end of the season. Another kind of tough one to hear as a big Bayern Munich fan. Bastian Schweinsteiger is not only a legend for Bayern Munich, but just a legend of the modern game, one of the great midfielders of the most modern era. Let's go this way. Let's talk about, I guess, our favorite memory from Bastian Schweinsteiger as a Bayern Munich player. Garrett, I guess you probably have the least amount to pull from, so we'll go ahead and let you start.
Man, I think my favorite Schweinsteiger memory is actually not with Bayern, it's with the German national team, just that whole cup run. Because that was really when I really started loving football was with that German national team and just seeing the type of toughness and determination that Schweinsteiger played with. And then, you know, just coming to fall in love with the club as my interest in soccer grew. So, you know, I don't have a whole lot, like you said, I don't have a whole lot of things to draw from, but I just remember, you know, that cup run. And I remember, you know, watching him bloody himself on the pitch in a couple of those matches. And just that's the kind of player that is cemented in my mind. I think that when it comes to him retiring, he's only 35, which, you know, is older for a footballer. But I do wonder how much playing for the Chicago Fire killed his passion for the game to try anymore. But by the end there, he was playing center back. I mean, didn't he start as a winger through the system?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was kind of like a wide midfielder. He sometimes filled in at fullback as well. Like, yeah. I remember his first few games, he was kind of like anywhere out wide.
Yeah, so you can, I mean, like, you talk about a player that can play anywhere, can do anything you ask him to do. That's Bastian Schweinsteiger, and that's, I mean, that's, like I said, a legendary player, and that German Cup run was really what cemented him as one of my favorite players as a fledgling football fan.
That the World Cup final against Argentina, you know, Mario Götze gets all the credit for scoring the game winner, you know, as he should, but Bastian Schweinsteiger was just like the definition of a warrior in midfield during that match. Sticking with the 2014 World Cup, one of my favorite memories on top of that is after the match, an interviewer is speaking with him and Thomas Müller, and she says, you know, something along the lines of, Thomas, are you disappointed you didn't win the Golden Boot again? You know, you were one goal off. Müller replies in Bavarian something along the lines of, I don't care about that crap. You know, we're the world champions. We won that. You can shove the Golden Boot somewhere. You can figure that out. And the reporter didn't understand and kind of made a confused face. And Bastian looks at her and he's like, he said, you look nice. And I just always thought that was the funniest thing. I'll go with my actual favorite memory before Tim can steal it. It's got to be the Champions League final victory. Just watching him celebrate after having missed the decisive penalty in Munich the year before. As a Bayern fan, that's obviously something that means a lot, because I just kind of always saw him as the vocal leader of Bayern Munich, whereas, you know, Philipp Lahm was the captain. Schweinsteiger was the passion. He was the guy who's, you know, really bringing the fire from midfield. So for him to miss the decisive penalty in 2012 in front of his home fans, and then win it the next year, that was something that was really great to see. So if not the World Cup final, then that's got to be it. So, Tim, you have to come up with something else.
Yeah, there are so many like key moments that that we've seen. I think like you're absolutely spot on with he is the sort of player that, you know, he can experience defeat and not really give up. I think that was really like the embodiment of that was in the World Cup final, that shot of him going off with like the blood coming down from his eye, and he's just looking at the referee like, are you serious? Like, come on, look at me, I'm actually bleeding and you're not giving him a booking. And then just seeing this guy just run and run and run until he couldn't do it anymore before, like, and at the final whistle he just collapsed. I thought that was incredible. That's like certainly one of my favorite moments. I guess if like I'm going to do like a whole nostalgia thing, I saw his debut at the Olympic Stadium. It wasn't like his debut for, because both him and Lahm had the same debut match. It was against, Lens, I think. Is it Lens? Lens? It's probably pronounced Lens. I'm going to say Lens. It was in the Champions League and they both played like a minute each. But his league debut in the Olympic Stadium was against, and he's lit up, I think it was Schalke, and he didn't play for very long. I think he played for like 10-15 minutes. He came on for Niko Kovac. Ooh. Would you believe that? So again, another Bayern legend, soon to cement his position in the club. It was like wholly unremarkable. This is just a guy that had like bleach blonde hair. He was just a kid, but then knowing just how important that game was in like the context of not just Bayern but like German football as a whole, I think the fact that I can look back and say I was there, that's like one of the coolest things in my eyes. Like he's such a fantastic embodiment of like a relentless athlete and somebody that just kept on working. Because when he started, I don't know if this would have been like slightly before your time as Bayern fans, but when he started at Bayern, he kind of like quickly got a reputation for being not like a playboy, but just somebody that was like, he's like really leaning into that whole element of celebrity. And I can't really liken it to anything. The player that's coming to mind at the moment is Jesse Lingard, and that's not a comparison that I ever want to make. But like that sort of thing, like if social media was like big back then, you know, that he would have been all over that, and like he would have been flaunting everything, and like he was a kid, and it makes sense. And so to see him go from that to, and he wasn't the captain, but he virtually was the captain of that Germany team along with Lahm, like it had to have been like a shared responsibility, and to like put in like man of the match winning performances like every single game of that tournament, knowing like where it all started from, it's incredible. It is frankly incredible. So this is him and Lahm are the two mm-hmm. people whose whole career that I've seen. And that just makes me really sad more than anything else, because I'm like, oh, time isn't stopping. Why? But yeah, like being able to say that I was there I don't think I can beat that.
I always kind of, I always visualize it this way. Like Philipp Lahm was the brains of Bayern and the German national team, and Schweinsteiger yeah. was the heart.
Yeah.
And Thomas Müller's whatever part makes you laugh. He's the funny bone, I guess.
So you can probably like think of it as like a car. Like Philipp Lahm is the engineer, Schweinsteiger is the engine, Thomas Müller's like the horn or something.
That's awesome.
Maybe the fuel. Let's go with the fuel. That's a little bit more functional.
Way nicer.
I really wish he would have held out one more season, because Nashville get their MLS team next season, and it was in my plans to finally see Bastian Schweinsteiger play in person. Even if it is MLS, and that's not happening. So
maybe there's going to be like a celebrity alumni game or something. Yeah, yeah.
So
that will happen.
If Thomas Müller does want to leave Bayern, I can let him know where to come.
It seems like a natural progression.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
He'd do well in Nashville, by the way, Müller. He'd do really well in Nashville, I think. I think he'd have a lot of fun.
I mean, the South, and you know, it's not too different from Bavaria, the tradition.
Bavaria's in the South.
I've just decided to start calling Nashville the Star of the South in the United States. So you know, he's got that.
There you go. Real quick, we have more planned for this episode, but we'll wrap it up with one final topic. One more Bayern Munich legend who is still doing great things. Despite being older than Bastian Schweinsteiger, and that is Frank Ribery, who has just been lighting Serie A up with Fiorentina. So he's kind of playing in this half striker, half left winger role up front with Federico Chiesa, Chiesa, who is also having a really good season. But man, he's just doing great things for Fiorentina. I guess most recently leading them to a 3-2 win over one of the Milan sides, right? Yeah, I can't remember
Yeah, 3-1 against AC.
3-1. Okay, yeah, 3-1 over AC Milan, which, you know, it's AC Milan, but that's neither here nor there. He's doing really well. Tim, I almost hesitate to ask you this, but do you kind of wish he was back at Bayern Munich doing that here?
Kind of, but I think the way that the last game of the season went, it was as perfect a send off for both him and Robin as possible. I'm so happy that he's doing so well, and he's kind of playing as like a second striker, and it's something that I really wanted both him and Robin to play as they got older. So I'm really happy to see that come to fruition, but he seems to be having like such a great time over there. His friendship with Kevin Prince-Boateng is maybe the sweetest thing that I've ever seen in my life, which is so peculiar, because like 5 years ago, if you told me, yeah, you're going to absolutely adore the friendship between Kevin Prince-Boateng and Frank Ribery, and it's going to be one of the cutest things imaginable, I would have laughed you out of the building. Those are two despicable footballers. But they are clearly best friends,
mm-hmm.
and he's having a great time, and he's doing well, and he's kind of showing that form is temporary, class is permanent, mm-hmm. whatever it is. But even that's kind of redundant, because he's class all over, and his form is brilliant. So it's worked out really nicely for him.
So you feel vindicated at least a little bit in the sense that he's doing well in a more central role.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's happy in this. So like Fiorentina get a good forward. I feel like I could potentially make it as a football manager. That's really all we want.
That's all that matters right there.
Yeah.
I think another thing is like the Fiorentina fans have really taken to him, best I could tell, and they really appreciate him. And, you know, I think that's great to see because he's kind of that, which it's hard to tell because he spent so much time at Bayern, but he seems like that type of player that if the fans are behind him, then he's going to reciprocate that and he's going to just elevate his game even further. And I think that's really what's happening there at Fiorentina.
Kind of crazy that he putting everything into perspective about like how old he is and how well he's still able to do in a big league like Serie A and like you said, Tim, like it couldn't have gotten more perfect the way that the send off was for him and Arjen Robben. So like there's no part of me that's like, oh man, I wish that he would have stuck around another year. It was time at Bayern. It was great the way that they got him sent off. But it's awesome to see him doing so well. Because I mean, there's still a very much of a Bayern feel to him. I mean, I think that's obviously what everybody's going to remember him mm-hmm. from is his time at Bayern. And so it's always good to see former, Bayern players doing well in other places if they left on good terms like Ribery did.
Yeah, and to clarify, though I asked him that question, there's no part of me that wishes Frank Ribery was still at Bayern Munich. I think he's exactly where he needs to be, doing exactly what he needs to do. But that's going to wrap up this episode. If you're a fan of the pod, if you've enjoyed listening to us talk about three of the biggest Bayern Munich legends to play the game, be sure to leave us a 5-star review. It would help us a lot. We greatly appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperBayernPod. You can get in touch with us there, keep up to date with us, just have a good time with us on there. You can also email us at SuperBayernPod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the major podcast catchers. We're going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.